So the next day there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother told him, "They have no more wine." Verse 4, "Dear woman," oh, Jesus talking here. "Dear woman, that's not our problem," Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." But his mother, we might even translate that, but his mama. Anybody know where we're going here? But his mama told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Standing nearby were 6 stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants, "Fill the jars with water." When the jars had been filled, he said, "Now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies." So the servants followed his instructions. When the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew, everybody say the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. "A host always serves the best wine first," he said. "Then when everyone has had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine, but you have kept the best until now." Verse 11, this miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory and his disciples believed in him. Say, his disciples believed in him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this time, this moment. Lord, I thank you for everything that you're doing, working, bringing to fruition, taking, having a hand in our lives, Lord, and everything you have called us to have a hand in your kingdom. And Lord, I pray right now as we look at your word today, I pray that our eyes will be open, that God, we would receive from you, Lord, that God, we would not just have a lesson, but Lord, right now we invite you, Jesus, through the presence of the Holy Spirit, to move in our midst, God, and to let us encounter your presence, your goodness, and your glory today like never before. Put your hand on your belly right now. Repeat this after me. Say, "Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me hear what you want me to hear so I can do what you want me to do and be everything you've called me to be. In Jesus' name, amen." So we're in this series. This is our second part of the series, and we're going to be in here probably all the way through the month of October. So we're going to be looking at Jesus, and we're focusing specifically on the miracles of Jesus, the things that Jesus does. And the reason why this is really important, let me tell you why it's important to me. I don't know about you. I want to see God move. Amen? Amen, somebody? We started this church. We are not here. God has not established us here just to have another club, another thing to do, another activity to be a part of, some kind of spiritual, religious exercise. No, we are here to have a move of God. Amen, somebody? We are here to see a move of God. We are here to experience a move of God. We are here to facilitate a move of God and to steward a move of God. And since that's what we are here to do, we need to understand how Jesus, how the Holy Spirit, how God works. Amen? And one of the greatest ways to learn that is to specifically look at the things Jesus did and to learn how he moves. Amen, somebody? And so we're on this series, Million Little Miracles, where we're looking at even specifically, even narrowing the scope a little more. I really want us to focus, and we're going to probably hit some big miracles of Jesus, but I want to focus even on some of the miracles of Jesus that might, on the outset, might seem small, might seem not insignificant, but just maybe not as like grand or a spectacle as you might imagine. And this one today, this John chapter 2, Jesus turning the water into wine, it's a really famous miracle. You've probably heard about it in Sunday school. And the reason it's famous is because of this. It is Jesus' first recorded miracle. It is the first supernatural, miraculous thing that Jesus did on the earth. And here's what I've got to look at that I think is so funny is that you see that Jesus' first miracle, he was of course nudged to do so. He was nudged to step out by his mom. Even Jesus needed a mom to push him in the right direction, it seems like, from this text. Amen, somebody? Even Jesus was even moved to make, and he says, "This, what do I care if they're out of wine? This isn't our problem." But his mom says, "You know what? Hey guys, it's just so mom-like. Hey guys, don't worry. I heard what he said, but he's going to do something anyway. Just go ahead and do what he says." And he went, "Why is Mary kind of seeming to be so pushy here. Why does Mary care about this? And the answer is really a little more basic than you might think. I think the reason is probably you got to understand. Remember, you know who Mary is, right? Mary, the mother of Jesus. Remember how Mary got pregnant with Jesus? It was a virgin birth. It was a miraculous birth, right? Now I know that we celebrate that and we sing Christmas songs about it and we talk about, oh, Silent Night and all these things, but I want you to put yourself in Mary's shoes, okay? Put yourself just, and you, if you want to do that, just imagine that today someone showed up, a lady shows up pregnant and you're like, well, who's the dad? And she's like, God. Now, would you be like, oh, that's amazing. Would we sing songs about that? Or would you be like, oh, okay, sure, God, yeah, okay. Okay, now Jesus is about 30 years when this takes place, about 30 years old. For 30 years, Mary has been telling this story. Hey, yeah, where'd Jesus come from? I wasn't married yet. This is a miraculous thing. This angel shows up, and I was a virgin when I got pregnant. This was a miracle of God. For 30 years, I guarantee you she's been telling this story. People have been rolling their eyes. When she goes away, leaves the room, people have been whispering, going, oh, yeah, sure, okay. We get it, Mary. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the angel, huh? Yeah, tell us again. You imagine, tell us again. You know, people are having a party. They're you know, talking junk, you know, making jokes. Mary, come here. Tell us again. Tell us again the story about Jesus again. Yeah, we want to hear that. Yeah. Okay, Mary, keep it up. 30 years you've been keeping this story up. So Mary has been looking for validation for her story for 30 years. She's been looking for every opportunity for Jesus to step up and show everybody, hey, I'm a little more than meets the eye. It's just so my question is like, I wonder if this was going on for 30 years. Like, was Mary just pushing this for 30 years inside, like in the house, you know, when she runs out of milk and she's baking cookies, is she like, hey, Jesus, we're out of milk. Yeah, remember you took over my womb and I've been trying to explain myself for like 10 years now. Jesus, time to step up and show. And Jesus is like, no, my time's not yet come. You know what I mean? Jesus, I'm out of salt. I don't feel like running the store. Hey, come on, Jesus, let's go. You might think, I think that probably happened. We feel like these, we see the miracles and we idolize and we put on pedestals. These guys, remember, these were just real people living through real times, watching God work, and often had no idea what God was doing. So Mary is for 30 years probably looking for every opportunity she can. You know, she probably nonchalantly strolled Jesus by every sick person that she possibly could, just waiting, just be like, hey, Jesus, see that guy? Yeah, you gonna do something? No, my time's not yet come. Another year of me carrying this story around. Hey, Jesus, see, Jesus, we're, you know, I wonder, like, did Joseph, his earthly father, get in on the mix? This is how I start asking too many questions and I just start pulling the thread. And just go, like, is Joseph going, Jesus, we're out of toilet paper. Can you do something to help me out here? You know what I mean? And Jesus is like, no, my time's not yet come. I don't know if they had toilet paper back then. I don't know what, I don't even want to get into that. I don't know what they did, to be honest. You know, Jesus, the game's on. I'm out of beer. Can you do something? You know, Jesus is like, sorry, Pops, my time's not yet come. You know what I mean? Finally, for whatever reason, maybe Jesus was worn down after 30 years, or maybe Jesus just was all of a sudden moved by God. But whatever happens here, here he goes. Mary says, hey, Jesus is here. He's going to do something. I'm sure people that probably know him, they're like rolling their eyes. Oh, sure, Mary, once again, you're just saying, but this time, for whatever reason, Jesus reveals his glory. Jesus, for the first time, reveals himself. And in, you know, last week, we ended by with this challenge, and I hope we remembered it. I hope you found some time to try this week. We ended by saying, let's stop and let's say thanks. When you see God move, let's stop for a moment and remember to say thanks, as we were looking at the miracle of the 10 lepers. How many have you been looking to see, stop, and say this week? Amen, somebody? When we look at this story and this miracle, and I want you to understand, this is not just a story. This is not something made up. This is something that actually happened. Okay, this is a real thing that happened in the Bible. We're gonna look at some ways that we can, we're gonna look at some things through this miracle that are gonna help us see when God's moving and see how God moves. This is the first thing that steps out right away. I want you to understand this. Jesus does miracles in ordinary places. Okay? Jesus does a miracle at a wedding. Not a famous person's wedding, not an important person's wedding. This is not the wedding of an important general or an important politician or someone that is known. In fact, we don't even know the name. The Bible doesn't even bother to list the names of the people who are getting married. You know why they didn't list them? Because it wasn't important. It didn't matter. They were just two ordinary, average people having coming together, bringing lives together, celebrating matrimony, celebrating a wedding. And I want you to also understand that Jesus, I think it's really significant that Jesus chooses the most foundational, the most ordinary, the most like one of the most central parts of our human existence, man and woman coming together to be husband and wife and to create a family. It is one of the foundational pieces of every society and every culture and of all of human existence is man and woman coming together to create a family, to procreate, to produce children, to continue the human race. Oh, I mean, it is at the absolute core of humanity's existence, is it not? And it's in one of the most core, functional, and foundational places in the human existence, at the most ordinary, just an average thing that's happening, and it's at that place, a most ordinary, central part of our lives, that Jesus says, in the most ordinary place, in a most central place that's important to everybody, that's where I'm going to choose to do a miracle. That's where I'm going to choose to do the very first thing. Jesus does miracles in ordinary places and through ordinary people. Do not dare for one second allow the devil to trick you and to lie to you and to say to you that you are too average, too ordinary, too whatever, or that you are not special enough or not extraordinary enough or not talented enough or not whatever enough to see him do a miracle. Jesus shows up. Jesus reveals his glory in ordinary places. Amen. And while I'm talking about Jesus revealing his glory, because that's how John defines it, says Jesus chose this way to reveal his glory, I want to take a second and we need to redefine what glory means. Okay? Now, for some people, when you say things like the glory of God or God's glory, you know, that might conjure up images of people falling on the floor or legs and limbs growing back or some kind of spectacular miracle taking place that everybody can see and everybody can know and those things happen, and man, thank God for those things. Those things are amazing. But I want to let you in, we've got to understand this, that listen, that even though that is a way that sometimes God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit might show up and manifest their glory, don't think that that's all the glory is. Amen, somebody? We need to have a real normal and a real grounded perspective and definition of God's glory so that we can see it when it shows up. Amen, somebody? And this is the glory of God. The glory of God is Jesus showing up in the middle of the most average, mundane, ordinary parts of my life. Amen. When I live a life that invites Jesus and allows Jesus to show up in the most average things, in the most ordinary things, in the most center, in central parts of my existence, that is God's glory showing up. Amen, somebody? And I want you to see what happens here too. Don't miss this. Because we may think, well, God's glory is, you know, if let me talk about for a church for a second, because we talk a lot about the glory of God and a move of God and revival and the Spirit of God showing up. But I want you to let you understand something real quick. We better not have that, because this is what we need to be careful of. We need to make sure that we don't define the glory, or that we don't want to see the glory of God show up just as a means for us to grow or to reach more people or to in any way, shape, or form build the name of our brand or who we are or our church or who I am. Amen, somebody? Come on. You know, I wish we could just have a cool clip that would go viral and get like a billion views or something on TikTok or YouTube, and then something, man, that would really be a move of God. Well, maybe God could use that, and maybe that would be a part of a move of God. But don't mistake that just because the numbers aren't always big, or that it doesn't get a lot of views, or that it doesn't get a lot of traction, or that it doesn't get your name in the paper, or whatever other thing you're gauging to gauge success, or whatever, don't think that God's glory is not showing up. Because this is what you need to see. Listen, it says in verse 11, he revealed his glory, and then what happened? The disciples believed in him. You know what the glory of God's for? The glory of God exists for one reason. God shows his glory for one reason alone, to make people believe. Amen? The glory of God doesn't show up to make me famous. It shows up to make me believe. When God does a miracle, he doesn't do that because he wants me to take a selfie and post it on Instagram and make it go viral and put the right hashtag on it or whatever else. I'm not hating on that. Take your selfie, do what you got to do, okay? But don't think that that's why the glory showed up. The glory of God exists simply. The glory shows up and manifests. Jesus moves for one reason, to make me believe, to make people believe. And as long as people are believing and coming to a greater faith in Christ, we can rest in the glory. Amen, somebody? So Jesus shows up in ordinary things, in central things, in regular things, in mundane things. That's where Jesus reveals his glory. And another thing we can see here too. You know why Jesus was at the wedding? Any ideas? Why did Jesus and his disciples show up at the wedding? I think the answer is real simple. They showed up because they was invited. Jesus showed up for the simple reason, and probably for no other reason except that he got an invitation. Amen? He got an invitation. Let me just take a moment, and we need to take one thing. Let me give you something to do real quick. Listen, here's what we need to do. You want to see Jesus show up? You want to see miracles show up? You want to see God's glory show up? You want to see miracles in your life? Here's what we need to do. Invite Jesus into your everyday life. Invite the Holy Spirit. Invite the presence of Jesus to show up in your everyday life. You know why? Because Jesus shows up where he's invited. Amen? And here's the thing. If Jesus shows up where he's invited, guess what else comes with him? The glory. His glory. His presence. Miracles. Let me say it this way. Miracles show up where the miracle worker is invited. Amen, somebody? Miracles show up where the miracle worker is invited. Well, if I really get serious about this and I invite Jesus into my everyday, man, isn't Jesus going to ruin the party? And listen, I don't mean to make religious people mad today. Maybe I do a little. But this is, we can't move past this. And I don't believe for one second that this is Jesus giving permission for us to just party and act a fool and act crazy. But these people are drinking, okay? And I don't care what nonsense you heard, there's nothing in Greek literature and in the Greek text here that suggests that this was not alcoholic wine. This was wine and alcohol in it. Now, what is true is that the alcoholic content of wine back in this time was probably much less than what we have today. That is true. But this was alcoholic wine, okay? And the people were having a good time. And nowhere do you see Jesus pointing the finger and going, "Oh, you're having a little too much." Okay? Now again, that's not, the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, okay? So this is not Jesus saying it's okay to just live foolishly and to drink to excess, but he's also not there condemning and pointing fingers at people either, is he? You know why Jesus was invited to the party? Because Jesus was good for the party. Jesus was fun to be around. Jesus was good to hang out with. Come on, somebody. Amen. Listen, every one of you got some friends that when you're having a get together, you're going to invite them because you're friends, they're your boys, they're whatever, but you know that there's a chance that they might show up and sour the party because of whatever reason. It's maybe out of obligation, whatever. You're going to question that. But listen, Jesus got invited to the party because he was good for the party. Amen? Amen. Amen, somebody? And I think that as Christians and as sons and daughters of God, we need to take a big note out of Jesus' playbook and realize that Jesus was good for the party, and we need to realize that everywhere we go, we should be contributing, we should be adding value, we should be bringing life as sons and daughters of God. Man, I want to be a Christian, I want to be a pastor, I want to be a preacher that's good for the party, amen? I don't want to be the type of Christian that shows up and everybody's like, all right, everybody button up, watch what you say, watch what you do, because, you know, the preacher's showing up and he's going to look. Jesus is good for the party. And because Jesus was good for the party, I can invite him into my everyday life with full assurance, knowing that when I invite Jesus into my everyday, he's good for the party. He's good for my life. Amen, somebody? Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus is good for the party. let me break this down and show you even how deep this thread goes. Jesus is not the only guy in the Bible to do some crazy stuff with water. If you remember back in the Old Testament, there's this guy named Moses. Anybody ever heard of him? Anybody heard of Moses? Yes? Okay, good. I don't want to give a history lesson on Moses today. Moses led the people of Israel out of captivity from Egypt, and one of the first things that Moses did as he begins the process and God begins to use him to free the people of Israel out of the bondage of Pharaoh in Egypt, remember what one of the first miracles he did in front of Pharaoh? What did he do? The Bible says Moses turned the water into what? Blood. Blood. What's blood represent? Death. Pain. Misery. If I'm bleeding, probably hurting, right? I think it's really significant because there's lots of Old Testament, New Testament parallels between Jesus and Moses. Moses brought the law, which represented death because of sin, because of our sinful state. We could never attain to the law of God. So when Moses brings law, he is essentially bringing death. Now, it's not that rest assured, it was from God, but God has to show us death so that we can appreciate and recognize the life that we can only attain through Jesus. Does that make sense? So the law Moses brought ended up bringing death, not because the law was bad, but because we are sinners. Amen, somebody? And so Moses starts fooling with water and turns the water into blood, okay? But Jesus, the one who would bring life through his own death, burial, and resurrection, he gets a hold of some water. He starts fooling with water, and what's water turn into? Turns into wine. Wine, you know, has a tendency to loosen things up. Wine can be represented as bringing life. Amen, somebody? Jesus brings life to the party. That's what I'm trying to say. Amen? And that is a theme that runs deep theologically and is biblically sound from Old Testament to New. Jesus is good for the party. So if I want miracles, I want to invite the miracle worker. Miracles show up when the miracle worker is invited. And this is another point you need to recognize so we can see how Jesus moves and recognize how miracles take place in our lives. Watch this. Don't miss this. This might be the most important part. I think it's real interesting in this story that Jesus, this is so good. I'm impressed with my own sermon. But I can't take any credit for it. It's all from God. Do you notice that Jesus never touches the water? Jesus never puts a hand on the water. The only people that touched the water were the servants. And when the servants gave out the water as they served it and it turns into wine, what's the story say? The story says that the people were like, oh man, we got even better. We were feeling good off this junk wine, but now we got some real good wine. I mean, we started out with Mad Dog 2020 and now we got something that's been aged for years in a basement somewhere. This is awesome, right? I don't know, you know? This is awesome. But what's the Bible say? The Bible says the people didn't even know what had happened. The people having a party, they didn't even realize a miracle happened. Only the servants knew that anything supernatural had happened. And it was only the servants that actually touched the water. The only thing Jesus did was give a command. Oh, God. The only thing Jesus did was give a command to the servants. And as the servants obeyed the word of Jesus, a miracle took place, not in Jesus' hand, but in their hands. What am I trying to say here? I'm trying to say, if I want to see the miracle, I've got to serve. If I'm so busy and wrapped up in my own stuff, if I don't ever give some time to serve the kingdom, serve God, be involved, I will miss the miracle. See, if you're not involved in the miracle, if you're not involved in serving, you might show up here, and I'll just use us as an example. You might show up here and think, man, they got lights and they got the band and they're the people in kids' church and the place is clean and man, it just happened. No, it didn't just happen. Some people showed up to make it happen. And when you're behind the scenes making it happen, you realize what the miracle is that's unfolding before your life. You don't realize that 30 minutes before we were about to get started, we were pulling our hair out, wondering if it was going to come together. The band was wondering, man, are we going to hit that note? Can we get the thing together? Maybe not today, but this happened before. Listen, I don't know. Listen, you don't know that the lights weren't working and some stuff, and we had to pray. And all of a sudden, boom, it happened, and God showed up, and a miracle took place. And you only see those miracles when you're serving. And this is how miracles flow. You can't miss this. Watch this now. Miracles flow from the mouth of Jesus to my hand. Jesus says, believe this, do this, step out in this, trust me in this, serve here, give here, do this, do that, speak here, speak that. Jesus gives a command from his mouth and then puts something in my hand. And the miracle sometimes I think gets lost between his mouth and my hand, because if I'm consistently hearing but doing nothing, the miracle is lost. Amen. Amen. Miracles flow from Jesus' mouth to my hand. And I want to take just a few moments here. And I'm almost done, but I want to share with you something that we've been working on that I believe really might be a miracle unfolding before us. And I really believe God's going to use it. Over the last year and a half or so, since this whole pandemic season, we've focused so much online, and we had months where we went for several months where we didn't meet together. We were all meeting in houses online. God began to birth something and just began to deal with me about, and really just what I kept sensing the Lord keep saying is that, man, God wants to get back into the house. Amen. God wants to get back into your house. God wants to use houses again. And so we've been praying about this thing, about this, and we've come up with this idea called redemption houses. Everybody say redemption houses. And if you're online today, I'm sorry, I haven't welcomed you yet. Welcome to the party. Welcome, man. You're part of the family, and I apologize for not saying anything to you until now. This might be particularly for you who are consistently online. But you might hear what I'm about to share with you, and the Lord might spark something inside of you. And this might be for you as well. Here's what redemption house is going to be. Redemption House is away right now. It's live right now. You can start one right now. You might have been thinking, man, I've got resources, I've got time, I've got space. I want to see God do something. I feel God calling me to something more, to build the kingdom more, but I don't know how. I'm not a preacher. I'm not gonna go start a church or whatever. This might be the key. This might be the ministry God calls you to. What is Redemption Houses? Redemption House is a way for you to use your house and your internet connection and the broadcast that we are already doing on a weekly basis to invite other people who may never come to church but may show up at your house to be a part. If you're online right now, you're thinking, man, I love online church. Maybe geographically you just can't connect. Maybe there's not a place locally that you feel led to connect with or just doesn't seem to be a right fit, and you've come across us, the Redemption House might be for you. Okay, this is a way for you to say, man, I want to be a part, and this is a way for you to see what God wants to do. And listen, here's the thing. This might say, well, that's kind of a new idea. It's probably new to us because for the last couple of hundred years or so in America, we've been used to going to a building at a certain time, at a certain day, and that's what we've recognized church as. But you know, back in the very first church in the book of Acts, the Bible says this about them. The Bible says that they met in the temple and from house to house. It was never an either or. It was never just, hey, come to the temple. What we've done, we've really focused on the temple. We've really focused on, hey, come to this building, come to this location, and this is where we're going to meet God. This is where lives are going to be changed. And it's awesome. God works in it. But God also wants to move in your house. Amen? God also wants to be a part of your house. So listen, what I'm saying is that is an area right now that you can see a miracle in. Because you might be connected to family, coworkers, online. You might be connected to people, family that I'll never be able to touch, that we'll never be able to connect with. Or they may never accept an invite to walk through the doors of a church for whatever reason. But they might show up at your house if you say, hey, why don't you come over? We're gonna hear some music and we're going to get into the word a little bit and ask some questions. Amen? Okay? So if that interests you or the Lord begins to speak to you about that, go to the website. You can see this is live right now. It's ready to go. And you can sign up. It's real. And you say, well, do you have to go through some classes? No, not really. That may be dangerous. I don't know. We're just going to see what God does with this. Amen? We want to keep it simple and let you, and just see what God does. If a problem happens, we'll figure it out. Amen? Right now, it's real simple. Step one, sign up. Step two, invite your neighbors and friends to join you at your... Now, listen, I'm calling it Redemption. We're calling it Redemption House. You can start a Redemption House in the break room of your workplace if you got the time. Amen, somebody? You could have a Redemption House at a shelter in a park. You could have a... It doesn't have to be... wherever you feel like God calling you to make an impact, to reach people, you can do that. Amen? Amen, somebody? So I want to throw that out there. And we're going to see what God does with that. That's just an example of a place where I believe God is speaking about a miracle. And he's putting it in our hands. Amen? Let's see what happens. Amen, somebody? Servants see the miracle. And the last thing I'm going to talk about for just another few minutes, and I'm going to be done. The last thing that you got to see is this. Jesus used simply whatever was available. Jesus, we need some wine. Come on, Mom. Do whatever he says. All right, what do we got around here? Got some grapes? No, don't even have any grapes. Can't even, like, just speed the process of fermentation up to make this happen. Got some water. Now that'll do. Go serve the water. Best wine ever. That's like the real condensed version, okay? Jesus will use whatever is available. They needed wine. All they had was water. Jesus used it. Amen? You might be here this morning. You might be online today. You might be at home somewhere or listening in your car, wherever. And you might be thinking, man, preacher, I am full of all the wrong stuff. I'm full. What I'm full of, what I'm about, what's in my life, what I'm dealing with, man, I'm sure that is not what God needs or wants. I'm sure that what I'm full of is not what the party needs. That's okay. If I would just make available, maybe a piece of bubble gum would be available. Sorry, I had to address it. You're right here. I'm not trying to. But God will use it. God will use it. I'm full of the wrong stuff. That's okay. Hey, take your wrong stuff and do these two things with it. Make it available and serve and watch a miracle take place. Amen, somebody? Amen. Man, I'm full of nothing. Justin, come on, man, it can't be that simple. My water, the water I'm full of, what I'm full of, man, I'm full of brokenness, I'm full of bitterness, I'm full of hurt, I'm full of anger, I'm full of rage, I'm full of envy, I'm full of lust, I'm full of this, I'm full of that. I'm full of issues from my past, I'm full of unforgiveness, man, I'm full of whatever you want to, listen, this is what you need to understand. I want you to see this on the screen. Jesus makes whatever is available into whatever the party needs. Jesus will make whatever I make available into whatever the party needs. Well, I don't have the right personality. I don't have the right makeup. I don't have the right talent. I don't have the right ability. You know what, man? The greatest ability, this is true of life and is abundantly true in the kingdom. The greatest ability is availability. You hear me? The greatest ability that I can offer in the kingdom of God is availability. Stand in the middle of this room this morning. And just so you know, if you think that like you're hiding or keeping a secret, if you think for any reason that Jesus isn't fully aware of the water that you're full of, then friend, you're kidding yourself. Jesus knows exactly what you're struggling with. He knows exactly what you're full of. He knows exactly whether or not you have bitter water or sinful water or hurt water or broken water or whatever the water is. He knows exactly what it is. And guess what? You know what he still says? You know what he still says? Serve it anyway. I know it's not what you might be looking for. I know it's not what you think. I want to go ahead and get involved in the sermon anyway. He invited you. He called you. He invites you to the table. He brings you to the party. He died on the cross for you and me. He makes his life available for you and me. He poured out the Holy Spirit for you and me, knowing full well what kind of water I'm full of. It's not a secret to him. He knows the stuff you're carrying around. He knows the stuff you see in the mirror is not the stuff that might line up and that you might think is the stuff that God wants to use and God wants to do a miracle with. But you know what he says? He says, serve it anyway. Make it available to me anyway. Because what I showed you 2,000 years ago in the first place that I chose to show my glory is that if you will make your water available, I will turn it into whatever the party needs in Jesus' name. That is God's glory revealed. Here's how we're going to end this time this morning. I just want us to take some time and just make ourselves available again. Can we do that today? Can we just get super honest? I'm just gonna right now open these. If you wanna come to the front, you wanna come to an altar, you can do that. We can do that right now. I want us to take just a few moments before we say a final prayer. And I want us to just get honest before God. I'm gonna pray in just a second, and I'm mostly praying for myself. You pray for you, and we'll pray together. Amen? But I want us to just take some time. Get honest with God. Own the fact that the water we're full of is probably not what you need, but we're going to make it available anyway. Amen, somebody? I said we're going to make it available anyway. Can we do that right now? Man, if you're with me, man, you don't have to. This is uncomfortable. Man, if you feel comfortable, you feel good about it, will you just close your eyes and leave and lift your hands? I'm going to begin to pray, and I invite you to just pray whatever is on your heart to pray. Make the word. You can agree with me, or you can pray your own prayer for you. But, I mean, let's just make ourselves available today. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I'm full of so many things I'm not proud of, Lord. I got so much water that's bitter. I got so much water that's poison. I got so much water that I know if I looked at it just from a human perspective, God, there's no way. There's no way it can be used. There's no way it's what you're looking for. There's no way it's what you want. But Lord, I know that you called me besides all that. You called me in spite of all that. So Lord, I'm here today afresh and anew, God, one more time, saying, God, I know the water I'm full of is not what you need, but it's available anyway. I know the water I'm full of is not what you're looking for, but it's available anyway. God, I make myself available to you again. God, I want to make myself available like never before. God, I'm sorry for times that I've just completely dismissed myself. I'm sorry for times I've completely shut myself off from you and shut myself off from the family of God and shut myself off from the kingdom and shut myself off from any possibility that I could see a miracle, that you would do a miracle in and through me, because I know I'm not full of what I think you want. Lord, right now, I let all of that stuff go. God, I let all of that go. God, I just want to tell you again, I'm available. I'm available, Lord. Turn this water into wine. Turn this water I'm full of. Turn this bitter water I'm full of. Turn this hurt water I'm full of. Turn this broken water I'm full of into a wine that can bring life to the party, into wine that can be useful for the kingdom, into wine that can be a place for your glory to be revealed and for you to make people believe. In Jesus' name I pray. God, that is my prayer. That is my declaration. That is my consecration to you right now. I am available. Will you lift your hands if you're saying that with me? Just say that right now. Say, I'm available. Come on, tell them, Lord, I'm available. Tell them right now. Open up your mouth. Come on, church family. Open your mouth. Get real with God right now. I'm available. God, I'm available to you. Do whatever you want. Change this water into wine. In the name of Jesus. If you're in this place this morning, you don't know Jesus. You've never received his death, burial, and resurrection for you. Maybe at one time you did. Maybe at one time you prayed a prayer, and maybe it was real and it meant something. Maybe it wasn't anything at all. Maybe it was, though, but for whatever reason, you've walked away from that. Wherever you are, first time, 100th time, I want you to know Jesus loves you. And right now, you can begin a fresh relationship with him. Is everything going to get fixed right away? Probably not. But you can start to fix it knowing that he's in your corner, walking with you through the process, knowing that you're forgiven and on your way to heaven. And if you don't know that and aren't sure of that today, I want you to walk out of this place sure of that, friend. How can I be sure of that? I can be sure of that because this word of God that we've been looking at today tells me that. Well, how do I get that assurance? How do I get that? It's real simple. Romans chapter 10 says, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and so shall you be saved. It can't be that simple. It is that simple. It may be difficult to live, but it is that simple. Simple doesn't mean easy. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're in this place, say, man, I don't know Jesus today, and I want to. This Jesus you've been talking about that changes water to wine, this Jesus you've been talking about that can use the ordinary and do something extraordinary, this Jesus that can take the stuff that I'm full of, that I'm not proud of, and turn it into something that's useful. I want to know that Jesus today. You can, friend. I want you to know, before I invite you to say yes to him, I just want to just get right out there. Man, I want you to know he's not mad at you. He loves you. And he loves you so much that he died on a cross 2,000 years ago for you. But 3 days later, after shedding his blood and paying the penalty for our sins, he rose from the dead. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father in a place called heaven. And in that place where he's at, he's inviting you to join him there also. His arms are open wide. He doesn't have any hoops for you to jump through. He just says, come, just like you are. If you're in this place, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you down front. I am in a moment going to ask you to raise your hand. If you're with us online right now, I don't care if it's live or if it's later on through the week, man, respond in the comments. And then everybody, in person or online, after we pray today, if you're here, I'm here. Come find me. We're going to pray together. If you have any questions, or you can go to redlifechurch.com, and right in the middle of the page, there's a big, big sign. You can't miss it. It says, ready to say yes to Jesus. We produce an explainer to just answer some questions you might have and help you get started on the right track. Whatever method you choose to come to Jesus today, come. Come. If you're saying yes, I need to say yes to Jesus today. Will you just raise your hand right now? Every head bowed, every head closed. Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. I want everyone in this room to pray this out loud with your own ears, with your mouth, so you can hear it with your own ears. Say, Jesus, I come to you right now, just like I am, a sinner who has sinned. but I believe that you're the Son of God, that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead, and that you did it all just for me. And I ask you right now to forgive me of my sin. Come and live on the inside of me. Be the King of my life. In Jesus' name. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for making me your son or daughter. Help me to follow you every moment of every day from this moment on. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, church. Can we celebrate with those that have prayed that prayer today? Welcome to the family of God, my friend. We got a church family here that's with you, ready to pray for you. Whether you prayed that prayer, whether you have some other need, stretch your hands this way. We're going to worship in just a moment before we go. Stretch your hands this way. Receive this blessing from the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. And the Lord give you peace. In Jesus' name.